Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great country and this great opportunity. Father, I realize that you are the one that made it all possible by demonstrating your grace and mercy and goodness. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow this country and ourselves every day of our lives as we trust you. So we commit this service and this message to you, because without you it's meaningless. We pray you would anoint it and touch our lives so we'd never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. The sermon today is going to be about grace. And I've pondered the thought of grace for many years. And grace is the most difficult doctrine in all the Bible to teach and to understand. In fact, I was thinking about writing a book that was entitled, Grace is Not a Blue-Eyed Blonde. It's so easy to misinterpret what is said or written. Let me give you an illustration. Two friends just finished a puzzle, and they were completely thrilled that they finished this picture puzzle in 1 month, because they said on the box it said for 3 to 6 years. A famous author was once challenged that he could not write a complete story with just 6 words. And so he took up the challenge. And here was what he wrote in 6 words. For sale, baby shoes, never worn. The Bible is a simple story with a simple message. Here's what it is. God made man. Man rejected God. God won't give up till he gets him back. And this sermon is about grace. From Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace, and this is not from you, it is the gift of God, it is not from works, so no one may boast. Now I have my own definition. Definitions of grace abound. The formal definition of grace, it's called unmerited favor. Some people use the acrostic, G-R-A-C-E, to spell out God's riches at Christ's expense. I have my own definition. My definition is grace is the unsought, unbought, saving activity of God. Grace is the unsought, unbought, saving activity of God. How did I get it? Well, in order to understand that, we have to understand that grace was first extended to Adam and Eve. So I'm going to read Genesis chapter 3, and I'm going to read the whole chapter. The fall of man. Now the serpent was more cunning than all the animals the Lord God had made. The serpent asked the woman, did God really tell you not to eat from any of the trees of the garden? The woman answered the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. It's only about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that God said you shall not eat of it or even touch it, lest you die. You certainly will not die. No, God knows well the moment you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like gods who know what is good and what is bad. The woman saw the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eyes and desirable for gaining wisdom, so she took some of its fruit and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. When they heard the sound of the Lord God moving about in the garden at the breezy time of the day, the man and his wife hid themselves from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord God then called to the man and asked him, where are you? He answered, I heard you were in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. Then he asked, who told you that you were naked? You have eaten then from the tree of which I forbid you to eat. The man replied, the woman whom you put here with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, so I ate it. The Lord God then asked the woman, why did you do such a thing? And the woman said, the serpent tricked me into it, and so I ate it. When the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you shall be banned from all the animals and from all the wild creatures, and on your belly you shall crawl in the dirt, and you shall eat dirt all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers, and she will strike your head, and you will strike at his heel. Now, it's interesting. We understand that God asked Adam and Eve, where are you? They were hiding. Well, one thing about Adam and Eve, they did not confess or acknowledge their sin. Not one time did they acknowledge they sinned. Not one time did they repent. They tried to cover their sin. They tried to hide from God. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 21 reads this, "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and Eve, his wife, and clothed them." Now, they didn't ask for forgiveness. It was granted to them as a part of God's grace. All they had to do was accept it and understand that God provided a covering. Now, in the garden, we want to see something special. We see Satan's plot. We see Satan's plan. We see Satan's purpose. Satan's plot was to use the serpent to get into the garden. Satan's plan was to get to Eve through the serpent. But Satan's purpose was to get to Adam, not Eve. Was Adam he wanted the whole time? That was his purpose, to get to Adam. And indeed he did. Imagine you want to learn to dance. Now, every man in their right mind should know how to dance. As ladies get older, they appreciate that more than anything else. And I used to have a friend, his name was Glenn Gilmore, and another friend who was named Cliff. Now, Cliff was the captain of the football team, handsome, tall, the dream of every young lady in the whole high school. And, of course, he was the king of the prom. And what happened was the ladies just thought he was the greatest thing since baked bread. And then there was Glenn, who was a ballet dancer. Boy, what a poofta. And we used to think, ballet dancer, huh? Yeah, really? And we used to think, boy, but I had no idea that through the years, he was in such great physical condition. He was strong, quick, agile, handsome. And as Cliff got older, he got a big belly, poor vision, and he began to walk stoop-shouldered. He was no longer the great example, the terror of the campus. He was suddenly just another old guy who was failing. And meanwhile, in comes who? Glenn Gilmore. And all the older ladies have now realized that their husbands were made of straw anyway. And so they decided, here's Glenn and he can dance. And they used to line up and hope, like men used to tap the shoulder, they'd tap the shoulder so they could dance with Glenn. And he was wonderful. Well, let me say this to you. Learning to dance is not as easy as it sounds. Now, I'm going to read an article that I thought says it exactly because I've been guilty of this. Let's imagine that you want to learn to dance. Being the rational, cerebral person you are, you go to a bookstore and buy a book on dancing. After all, a book helped you learn to program a computer. A book taught you accounting. Surely a book can teach you how to shuffle your feet. You take the book home and get to work. You do everything it says. The book says sway, you sway. The book says shuffle, you shuffle. The book says spin, you spin. You even cut out paper shoe patterns and place them around the living room floor so that you'll know where to step. And finally, you think you've got it. And you invite your wife to come and watch. You hold the book open and follow the instructions step by step. You even read the words aloud so she'll know that you've done your homework. Lean with your right shoulder, and so you lean. Now step with your right foot, so you step. Turn slowly to the left, and so you do. You continue to read, then dance, until the dance is completed. You plop exhausted on the couch, look at your wife and proclaim, "I've done it perfectly." And she says, "You executed it. You killed it." What? You forgot the most important thing. Where's the music? Where's the music? You never thought about music. You remembered the book. You learned the rules. You laid out the pattern. But you forgot the music. Do it again, she says. Putting on a CD this time, don't worry about the steps. Just follow the music. She extended her hand and the music began. The next thing you know, you're dancing. You don't even have a book. We Christians are prone to follow the rules of the Bible. We're prone to study it carefully and learn all the innuendos and the rights and the wrongs. We go to Bible studies. We study and we study and we study and we learn all we can. We're learning the steps. But where's the music? The Holy Spirit is the music. He's the one that teaches you to dance. He's the one that makes it alive. He's the one that makes all the difference in the world. You cannot dance without the music the Holy Spirit provides. You cannot live the Christian life without being filled with the Spirit. You can do all the right things, follow the right rules, step in the right places, but unless you're filled with the Spirit, there's no music. And the reason you're exhausted and the reason you're tired is because you've tried so hard to learn to dance, but there is no music. To be filled with the Spirit is what it means to hear the music. And you know, it's interesting. Grace provides not only the steps, not only the scriptures, but it provides the music. I didn't seek salvation. I didn't seek it because I myself was sought. I didn't buy salvation because I myself was bought. I didn't seek it. Since I didn't buy it, what do I do with it? You know what you do? You know what you do with it? You enjoy it. Are you enjoying your life? Are you enjoying it really? Or are you trying so hard to learn to dance without the music? Are you working so hard to please? Are you doing all these things? Let me say something important to you. Many times when you're tempted of the devil, it's not you he's after. You see, there's bigger fish to fry than you if he impersonally takes over. You see, it's like going to the bowling alley. There are 10 pins. The main pin is the head pin, but that's not the one you want. You want them all. Satan may use you as a head pin to get to someone so he gets them all. Perhaps Satan could use you to get through to your husband. Perhaps he could use your husband to get through to his company. Perhaps. Let me say this. When Satan does a job, he uses one person to get every person. So what would happen if Satan got me? How would that affect Tom? How would it affect my wife? How would that affect other people? I'm not the goal. I'm not that important. But he is, and she is. What about if Satan used you to get through to your children? What if he did that? It's not you he's after. He wants your children to be disillusioned. He wants your children to see that you know all the steps. You know all the right things to do. You study all the Bible. You do everything you can. Day and night, you try your best to follow the right steps, and there's no music. They need to see the music. I remember meeting an old stodgy Norwegian. Now, Norwegian people are very... No, I said Norwegian. Norwegians don't want to be called Danes. But Norwegian people are wonderful people. But I remember meeting this old Norwegian. And he would say, well, he say, you know this. For sure, he said, the Lord is my strength, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I said to myself, the joy of the Lord is his strength. The joy of the Lord is his strength. The joy of the Lord is his strength. The joy of the Lord. Is the joy of the Lord my strength? Is it really? Am I dancing without the music? Am I trying so hard to please instead of enjoying the grace of God? I didn't seek it. I didn't buy it. How did I get it? I enjoyed it. What's your life like? Is the joy of the Lord really your strength? Is it really? It can be. It should be. And it will be if you want it to be. Listen, it's easy to see the flaw. Okay? It's easy to see the flaw. We're good at it. We're very difficult and very hard on seeing the flaws in ourselves. We do it all the time. You look in the mirror and what do you see? Oh, I go, ooh, look at that eyebrow. It's a turn signal. You say, hair grows everywhere. But my head. You say, well, if my lips were only smaller and these teeth, they're separating so much you could almost drive a car through them. Oh, my right knee is hurting me so bad and my hips are out of joint and oh, and I wish I was out of this joint. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. God loves you so much that he gave his son for you. God loves you so much that he gave his word for you. God loves you so much that he gave the Holy Spirit for you so you could dance. Let's stand together. Father, we're thankful at how gracious you are. We're thankful how wonderful you are. We're thankful, Lord, and we pray right now that all of us, we know the steps, but we just want to dance. So I pray that the Holy Spirit would fill our lives, and as a congregation, we would show the world that the melody's begun. We thank you now for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.